thoughts of the Lord. And I think we can all say that God has been good to us. You know, the Lord saved me whenever I was a 12-year-old boy. And I've been saved ever since. And I tell you what I've learned as life has went on, that the key to happiness is to focus on what the Lord has blessed you with, not what you don't have. The Bible teaches us to be content with whatsoever things we have. Contentment don't come from cars or money or bank accounts. Contentment comes from knowing who you are and whose you are. Now, I'm a child of God because I accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, I can say this morning, I don't know very much, but I know I'm saved. Now, I'm not just saved from hell, but I'm saved for heaven. I've been saved from sin, and one day after a while, we shall see the Lord if we've been born again. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. This is scripture that God has laid up on our heart, and we want to do our best to leave it within your hearing. In the 13th verse of the 49th chapter of the book of Isaiah, let me say as you turn there, it's real important to understand the setting of this scripture, knowing that the children of Israel, they're going to go into captivity. It's already been prophesied. They're going to go through a really hard time. Now, I think if we understand the scripture correctly, they would go 400 years without hearing from the Lord. And I don't know if it was that He wasn't speaking or they wasn't listening. But for whatever reason, they were not able to hear. Now, I thought about how many times in life do you ever have trouble hearing the voice of God? It's not God's fault, I'll assure you of that. He still speaks, and He speaks in a still small voice. But our heads are so, you know, encumbered by everything else. If you're like me, there's a lot of room up there, but unfortunately it's filled with all of the wrong stuff. And so often it's hard to really focus on the voice and the Word of God. But when God speaks, things happen. When God speaks, things change. They went 400 years without hearing from the Lord. They were under captivity of various nations. And whenever the Lord Jesus came to the earth, they were under Roman rule. And they would be under it throughout His ministry. Now remember how that earlier, after they'd been carried away, they would come back in Ezra's day. They would rebuild the temple. They would come back in the days of Nehemiah. And they would rebuild the walls around Jerusalem and rebuild the city. But yet they would still, through all those years, and I said this before, they would be caught between the hammer and the anvil. They went through some really, really hard times. God said in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all that pain, in the midst of all that suffering, there's going to come a day that changes everything. I'm going to send you my beloved Son. He said, behold, in one place a virgin shall bring forth a child. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the pain, there's going to be a light that shines and shines brightly. Thank God, and He said in this 49th chapter, it will be a light that brings the Gentiles unto me. And how many of you know that Jesus Christ was that light that through His life, death, through His burial and resurrection, He said, I am the light of the world. And those of us that are saved by grace have been drawn into His light. And now we too have that light living within us. I don't have to be scared of the dark. I don't have to be scared of dark places. God has placed a light down inside my soul that cannot be extinguished. And so here, he begins to continue the prophecy. In verse 13 of that 49th chapter, sing, O ye heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. And here was the response. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, They that may forget, they may forget, but I will never forget. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, as I come to you this morning, I'm so thankful for all that you've done in my life. Thank you for saving my never dying soul. But God, I thank you that being saved is not just being put upon a shelf. Thy mercies are new every day. God, there's a desire in my heart this morning. Lord, if I don't get to preach, Lord, let me just praise you for a little while. God, you're worthy of my praise. Lord, you've saved me. You've called me with a calling. And God, you've given me the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Christ. And it is good news that all men and women, boys and girls, they can be saved. God, that you love them. Jesus, you died for them. God, I thank you, Lord. We have a song worth singing. God, this little old song down in my heart. God, I pray, let it play loudly this morning. And Lord, may I sing it from the depths of my being, that thou art the Lord, and beside thee there is none other. Gracious and merciful toward usward, in that you sent your Son to die on Calvary. God, I pray now, let everyone in the house of God get in the boat with us for a little while. Let us sail to a foreign land. Get away from the rigors of life for a little while. They'll be with there when we get back. Lord, set us in a heavenly place that we might see Jesus through the preaching of thy word. God, again, we love you and praise you. God, give us strength, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If I had a thought one above another this morning, it would simply be, I've got a song worth singing. You know, I thought about so many of our precious people here and how you love to sing. And I see my school teachers, and so often in my mind's eye, you're going down the road. Do you ever get those can't help it's in a song come to your mind about the Lord? And you just, even some of us men that don't know how to sing can do that. And you know that song comes from your heart. It may come even in the dark. And let me ask you this. Hey, the psalmist said in one place, he said, there's songs that come to me in the nighttime hour. Have you ever been in a nighttime hour in a dark place and God stirs a song in your heart? And aren't you glad that what God put in us continually speaks to us? His Spirit speaks to us. In one place, the Scripture said that we're to make melody in our heart and sing praise unto God. And when we do that, it changes our countenance. It might not change our situation, but it changes our mindset. In one place, David said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we serve a God this morning that's worthy of our praise. Now I've got a song worth singing. And you've got a song worth singing if you've been saved by the grace of God. In one place the psalmist said, sang unto the Lord a new song. The day God saved my soul, he put a new song in my heart. Up until then I didn't know what hope was. Up until then I had not experienced his eternal love. But now I've got a song, and in my song it talks in my heart. And when I reverence God, I know this. I know that God loves me regardless of what I do, regardless of what I say. God still loves me. And I've got a song worth singing. I couldn't help but think about the children of Israel and how that, or the Hebrew children, as they made their way out of the land of Egypt, the Bible said they looked back and God, first of all, opened up the Red Sea and that marched through on dry ground. And as they looked back, God had rolled the waters together and all of their past in Pharaoh's army had been washed away and destroyed. And they began to break out into a song they had never sung for 400 years. Them and their parents had been captive in the land of Egypt, but they began to sing a song of a people that had been freed by the blood of the Lamb, a people that were on a march on their way to a land that they had never seen, but they knew this about it. It was going to be better than where they were. I want you to know this. Heaven is better than where we're at now. We've got our eyes fixated on a lost and dying world. And let me say this. When it comes to souls, that's the way we ought to be fixated. We want to see them saved. But I want to remind you, Christian brother. I want to remind you, Christian sister. This is not our home. A song worth singing. The Bible said he will have mercy on his people, upon his afflicted, and he'll comfort. I don't know that I've ever seen a time in my life when I've seen people more afflicted or people that needed more comfort than in the day and age that we live. You ever feel like life smites you on one cheek and you turn that cheek and it smites you on the other cheek, and there's so many people that are going through affliction now. Let me say this, if you're living in a time and right now you're on the mountaintop and right now you're blessed, thank God for it. You ought to be shouting. You ought to be rejoicing. But I'm going to tell you this. There are those that are afflicted. There are those that have trouble. Let me say, and you know this. Hey, there's a lot of times my soul is right with the Lord, but it is a battle for me to keep my mind where it ought to be. This world is pulling at me, and the needs of life are pulling at me, and I find myself afflicted sometimes, but thank God there's something down inside of me, and about the time I ask myself and I say, do I have any strength to go on? You know what the Lord said? He says, I've got strength for you, son. Just trust in me. And aren't you glad that his strength is made perfect in our weakness? And there are times we find ourselves, and I know you hear me preach this over and over and over again, but in our affliction, he comes to us and he comforts us. But verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. If you're here this morning under the sound of my voice and you feel like that God has forgotten you, this message is for you. I want to assure you this morning, according to the word of God, God has not forgot you. Now listen. We forget people sometimes. Hey, if I'm away from you long enough, I may forget your name. If I get under a lot of stress, I might not remember my own name. But I'll tell you this. Hey, every name that's been written down in the Lamb's book of life, God knows each and every one of us. And we know him and we're known of him. And thank God when he calls our name, we will come. There's no worse feeling than to feel forgotten. You know, whenever I stand at the door on Sunday morning, I try to shake your hand and I try to hug your neck. I want you to know that I care and that I hadn't forgot you. You know what? The worst thing is, every now and then this morning, I think I called Alexis Alley and it's turned around and I feel, oh my gosh, she's going to think I forgot her name. Let me tell you something, Alexis. God don't forget us. He don't just leave us in a time of trouble. He don't just leave us in our difficulty. But in that time, he said, I will come to you. Is there anybody ever been driving down the road and felt down and out, and all of a sudden that song stir in your heart and turn you back to the Lord and let you know it's going to be all right? I thank God we got a lot of singers, a lot of good singers. You know, do you ever get a case of the can't help it, and it just out of nowhere you're singing unto the Lord? Y'all ain't heard it, and I'm glad you hadn't. But some of the best singing I've ever been a part of has been in the cab of a tractor plowing a field. There wasn't nobody there but me and the Lord. I'd say some of the best singing ever been done driving down the road, going to school, or coming home from some of these precious things. And then there's people like Stevie that you can be talking to him, and if you use words that are in a song title, he may just start singing it to you right in the middle of a conversation. But I'll say this about you, brother. It comes from your heart. It's out of the joy that God give you. It's out of the joy of your salvation. You know, everybody can sing in the shower. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah, we can all sing in the shower. I'm going to tell you something, though. There are times that God will encourage us from the inside out. Every now, and you know what happens, and this is okay, this is my part. God has called me to be a minister of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called me as a pastor to encourage you. But let me ask you this, am I with you 24/7? Am I with you every day? No, I'm not. And every now and then, you know what, David, in one place, the men of his own people came against him in Ziklag, and the Bible said he got by himself and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And every now and then, all you got is you and Jesus. But I've come to tell you, that's enough. Amen. I couldn't help but think about Elijah on Mount Carmel when he had fun with these false prophets of Baal. And remember, they were crying out unto Baal, and he said, well, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's going on a journey. Maybe you need to wake him up. Let me tell you something about the God I serve. He's awake 24/7. His ears are attentive to the cries of his children. He knows me when I call him. Can a woman forget her suckling child? Will she not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now I think about these little children walking around, and Jack and Murphy and Blake and Ruby, and I can go on and on and on. We've got so many. Let me ask you this, mothers and daddies, I'm looking in your eyes. Could you ever forget that child? Man, she's a part of you, and you're a part of her. And he and she is a part of you, and you're part of her. And I can say that to every parent in here, even old Jay, he's a part of you and you're a part of him. All of our children, right? Yeah. When I got saved, I became a part of him and a part of his kingdom. And upon my profession of faith, his spirit came and down my soul, and he is a part of me. God said, how could I forget you? I'm a part of you. Listen, there are a lot of us, we get down and out, and we wonder, does God remember us? It would be like him forgetting himself, because he's a part of us. I love the thief at the cross on Calvary when he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm going to tell you, the Lord remembered him and the Lord remembers us. David said, if I make my bed in the heavens, thou art there. If I lift my eyes in hell, thou art there. There's no place I can go that God is not. He said, can a woman forget her child? He said, they may forget, but I won't forget you. And I want to dwell on verse 16. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. In the Old Testament, the high priest, anybody heard of the ephod? That was a garment or something that the priest would wear. And on that ephod, there would be six names on one side of the tribes of Israel and six on the other. And he would wear that around. He kept it close to him, close to his heart. And if he ever forgot about one of the tribes, you know what? Maybe that's what I ought to do. Maybe I ought to write everybody's name down. And when I forget, I can just cheat over here and take a little old, oh, by the way, it's good to see you. But he would bear their burden, and they were close to his heart so that he would never forget. Here's what the Lord said, I will grave thee upon the palms of my hands. How did that happen, preacher? When they stretched one hand out as far as the east is from the west, and the other as far as the west is from the east, and they drove those nails into his hands, he said, I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to write your name right there, and I will not forget it. And so we're graven in the palm of his hands. We've got a song, certainly, that's worth singing. You know, I'll say this. Monday night, I love to see the church get to the place to where we're no longer a part of the earth for just a little while. And for a little while, we sit in that heavenly place and we worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. And we begin to feel His presence flow and begin to move among us and begin to move through us. And it's a good place to be. And it's a place where when we get there, I'm not in a hurry to go home. I'll stay there as long as God will allow me, but we just don't get there very often. We sang. We rejoice. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody in the house of God in this choir? Have you ever stood up here and just felt God flow through your heart? I don't know what it's like to be in the congregation because for whatever reason they've blessed me to allow me to come up and sing with you. But I'm going to tell you, does it feel as good back there as it does up here? Because it feels awful good up here. That's nothing compared to what's coming. See, whenever the Lord comes in glory and He calls His children out and calls us home, they're going to gather around heaven. He said, "Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth." We're going to gather together. And brothers and sisters, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the midst of us, when we coronate Him and we crown Him King, every angelic being will sit or stand still and not say a word, and they'll come to a hush as we who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb sang a song for all the ages that'll last forever when we cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God." And as good as it is down here, just wait till we get over there together. Before you can get there, you've got to be saved. You've got to have a new song in your heart. You know, what troubles me in the day and age we live, and I'll be quick. What troubles me in the day and age that we live, how many of you know, Jeremy, I know you love music, and we got, like I said, so many musicians. It helps us make contact with a moment. It helps us express what we're going through. Some of that's good and some of that's not so good. But every now and then, what true worship is not when we're singing about the Lord. When worship is when we're singing to the Lord. It's whenever we take Jesus and make Him the focus of what we're singing about. And by the way, our Savior is greatly to be praised. He said, "Brother Russell, right now that's not my song." There are times that we sing a song of brokenness. There are times that we feel like what was said in the Scripture. We feel like, "Lord, I don't understand. Where are You? Where are You in all this? Do you look at the world and go, 'Where is the Lord in all this suffering?'" I'm going to assure you of this. He's near. He's near unto them that call upon Him. And so many have a song of brokenness. And so many are going through a season and their heart is wounded. But I'm going to tell you, just as sure as you play a song and it comes to an end, your season of pain will come to an end if you'll just keep waiting on the Lord. And oh, some of you have waited a long, long time. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Stand to your feet this morning. I've got a song worth singing. You say, "Brother Russell, you've made a lot of mistakes." I've still got a song worth singing. You say, "Brother Russell, but look at the mistakes you've made in your life. Look at all that you've done. I've still got a song worth singing." "But Russell, you fail all the time." I've still got a song worth singing. It's not about me. It's about Him. And His power to love. And His power to forgive. If you will, Stevie, get a song. Noah, listen. I don't know what melody you're making in your heart. Some of you may be singing a sad, sad song. But I'm going to promise you this. Weeping endures through the night. But joy, it comes in the morning. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your focus on Him. And I'll promise you, everything will work out in the end. What you got, son? Page 542. God do bless this morning.